This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. If you haven't been sick this winter, you've surely noticed the large number of sick people around you. The flu season has started unusually early and it seems to be packing quite a punch. Some say it's an epidemic and others that it's merely a moderately severe year. But either way, given that it's happening along with the worst pertussis outbreak in 60 years, immunity and immune boosting is definitely on everyone's mind. Today's guest, Dr. Gary Weiner, is here to talk to us about natural ways to boost immunity, to protect yourself against colds and flus, and how to treat the flu once you have it. Dr. Weiner is a former writer and producer for public television who transformed his health through diet and nutrition and was motivated to then change his career to become a naturopathic physician, Chinese herbalist, and acupuncturist. In 2001, he co-founded Pearl Natural Health here in Portland. And he's here again today to talk about natural approaches to boosting immunity in the flu season. So if you have questions for Dr. Weiner today and you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 503-231-8187. Welcome back to Health Watch, Dr. Gary Weiner.
Good morning.
So let's start with, why should we be worried about the flu? Why do we hear about the flu in the news versus the common cold, for instance? What is the big deal?
Well, the big deal this year is that the flu of 2013 has come earlier than expected, and it's quite virulent. In fact, it's the worst we've had in 10 years, with 29 states reporting it as a severe epidemic. Last week, 7.3% of all deaths in the U.S. were due to this new flu. And the Center for Disease Control speaks of the current vaccine as being only about 62% effective. So we've got more people getting it than in a very long time. And I think it's a stressful time in the world and in our country, and with time, economic hard times, and because stress certainly weakens our immunity, and it's come earlier, we've got a problem on our hands. So it's real important, as I tell my patients, that we stay as healthy as possible right now and build a strong immune system.
Well, you mentioned the flu vaccine, and I know a lot of people wonder each year, should I be getting the flu vaccine? So let's just parse out some of the pros and cons. You mentioned, for instance, this year that the CDC says it's 62% effective, and what a lot of people don't realize is the effectiveness of the vaccine changes year to year, and one of the reasons that is because we're actually guessing which strains in advance of the season, which is kind of a unique thing for vaccinations.
That's right. I'm not one who says, you know, absolutely the don't get a flu vaccine. And I leave that to my patients, because overall I don't find for most people that they cause any harm. However, I think they work, but not universally or predictably. There's no single virus that can cause the flu, and we're anticipating what flu viruses are, what we're going to be facing a year before. And because of what's called the antigenic drift and shift, which is sort of how viruses mutate over time and change and how they combine, it's very difficult to be accurate when making a vaccine. And so, you know, plain and simple, getting a vaccine doesn't really guarantee that we're going to be protected.
Well, it seems like one of the conundrums is the CDC says it's 62% effective this year, for instance, which I'm imagining is for people with healthy, robust immune responses to the vaccine. But the people who are at most risk from dying of the flu, so the elderly, the immune compromised, and little babies, don't actually mount a very good immune response to the vaccine. So I would suppose that the effectiveness is even lower for those people.
It is, and then there's a huge number of people who are immune compromised on a functional level. I mean, there's a lot of folks around with weak immune systems who are going to be more vulnerable, and the vaccine is not going to be protective. It's not to say that the vaccine can't be protective, but if people think that they're getting a guarantee or that that's going to take care of the problem, I don't think it is.
I suppose you could make a public health argument that in order to protect our seniors and our infants, that the average adult with a healthy immune system should get immunized more for them than themselves, in a way.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, the basic guidelines of the CDC about, you know, people 6 months of age and older and immune compromised folks, people with asthma and diabetes and chronic lung disease and pregnant women. I think it's possibly protective.
So, given that the vaccine isn't going to be the end all and be all, we both see patients in our practice who come in who've had the vaccine who also then get the flu. Where do we start with people to help boost their immune system so that the likelihood of them getting the flu is much lower?
The way that we can approach this is as we do in my clinic with a program for immune enhancement, is to take measures to build up our resistance. Everybody's health is different, and it's hard to generalize. But the points that we want to look at in each patient is, you know, first the diet and nutrition, because nutrition is so vital to creating an immune system that works. And we could go into the nutraceutical aspect of which vitamins and minerals and amino acids and fatty acids, and there's just so many that are involved in immunity. But the first thing is we've got to eat and digest well. And it focuses on a whole foods diet rich in vitamins, minerals, and amino acids and high fiber and good oils, and we can discuss that more. Secondly, we want to work on our allergies. We want to work on any kind of toxicity we have in our body, because the body has to deal with a total load of things that irritate it. And if it's dealing with a lot of food that's coming in that isn't right for the body, if it's dealing with other kinds of environmental sort of toxins, then when it should be attending to the latest virus it picked up, it's tied up and busy with getting rid of things that probably ought not to be there in the first place. Third is to look at hormones. There's a lot of people walking around with stress-induced problems and low thyroid function, low adrenal gland function. And there's plenty of evidence and plenty of papers out there in the research world showing that low function of the thyroid, which I focus on a lot in my practice, and adrenal fatigue leads to a decrease in the potency of the immune system and the ability to fight off stuff.
You mentioned the thyroid and the adrenal. Certainly adrenal fatigue, it's not something that a conventional doctor really looks at in their paradigm. But I would also guess that most conventional doctors don't look at thyroid either when thinking about immunity. So is there a certain test you would have people ask their doctor to get?
Well, everybody should be everybody who's facing immune challenges should it be doing a TSH test and a free T3 and a free T4 test, and should be looking at possibly something called reverse T3 to see if they're a candidate for help with the thyroid. And then in the adrenal department, there's a saliva test called the adrenal stress index by the most common lab that does it, or the adrenal stress profile. And nowadays there's all sorts of specialized labs that do adrenal testing. And that's a big one, because low adrenal function will leave one really open to the viruses who are there. And I want to say that that's what, you know, immune enhancement and preparedness for a flu season like we have today is all about, which is, how can I strengthen my resistance? What separates you and me if we're both exposed to the same virus, why I get it and you don't? I may get it because I've got weak forces, and you may not get it because yours are strong. So we can look at a variety of different factors in our health and really up our chances for not getting it.
Well, what about vitamin D, Dr. Weiner? I know a lot of people focus on vitamin D and its role in immunity. Is that a standard thing that you typically test for? And if so, what levels would you want people to be at to feel good about their vitamin D status going into the winter?
Well, I always look at that, and there's actually some really good papers out there from peer-reviewed journals on vitamin D and immunity. In fact, that's one of the first things I recommend to my patients when they get the flu is immediately to increase their vitamin D up to, and I don't want anyone out there simply doing this without some supervision from their healthcare provider, but, you know, we go up to 30, 40,000 units for a couple of days right away. And of course, if you don't have the flu but are just looking at lining up all your defenses, you know, get it tested. And, you know, you want to get it up there high, you know, above 50 to really feel good about your vitamin D status and the upcoming flu.
We're talking today with naturopathic physician, Chinese herbalist, and licensed acupuncturist Dr. Gary Weiner about natural approaches to flu prevention and treatment this season. If you have questions and want to join the conversation, the number here at the studio is 503-231-8187. So you mentioned allergies. So just to paraphrase what you'd said about allergies, if somebody is struggling, say, with a mold allergy or a cat allergy or a wheat allergy, are you suggesting that if they're not really addressing the stress that they're getting in their body from those allergens, that they're more susceptible to the viruses that they're exposed to?
That's exactly what I'm suggesting. If you have chronic itchy throat, watery eyes, you're sneezy, sinus congestion, it's a tell that your load, your total load of irritants in your body is too high. Maybe it's coming from stress hormones. Maybe it's coming from the diet. It's coming from somewhere. I say address that with your healthcare practitioner and address it now when you don't have the flu. And that's a very strong thing that you can do. I'm finding a lot of people with a chronic sinus picture have a low level of chronic coagulase negative staphylococci that we're culturing with deep nasal cultures all the time, and we're taking care of that, and immunity is really being strengthened.
So they have a low level of a bacteria.
Yeah, that's always there. And, you know, much as we naturopaths have, we're sort of trained against the germ theory in our nascent training, I've come to a position where I'm actually seeing us carry a low level of this germ around, and when we get rid of it and get those cleaned out, and people are carrying it around for decades, that health is really changing in many cases.
And do you use home therapies like salt water, neti pot rinses of the sinuses as part of that, or is
yes.
that not something that you
No,
do?
I do that, but we also are compounding through a compounding pharmacy. Nasal spray using actual antibiotics and getting them way up into the nasal cavity for a month of spray. I try to avoid the systemic antibiotics because of all the destruction that they wreak on the digestive system, but sometimes we do use them.
Let's move on and talk a little bit about some of your favorite supplements or herbs from a preventative standpoint. You mentioned vitamin D, finding out your vitamin D status, getting on the appropriate level, and then you also mentioned a higher dosage as a treatment of vitamin D. Are there some other things that are really common that you use over and over again for people to get them ready? And particularly, let's say, people who are exposed at a high level, say like school teachers or nurses, people who are going to really want to make sure that they're careful around their immune function.
The first thing we do, you know, is of course work on the diet, get that right. The second thing is, you know, to take some antiviral herbs during the season and nutrients that will support the immune system. You know, one of my favorites is, of course, Sambucus. There's some good research on that, which is
elderberry.
And also Osha ligusticum, and astragalus and mushroom complexes that are quite well known out there. There's different combinations and strengths, but you know, the maitake and the reishi and the cordyceps mushroom are all very helpful and have been shown to increase humoral and cell-mediated immunity. We're using a lot of Chinese herbs. Like you, I'm a Chinese herbalist and an acupuncturist. And there's really some good research on lanicerin, forsythia, those two Chinese herbs that are common antiviral type herbs that are in a lot of the old ancient formulas that deal with the so-called external pernicious influences that invade us in the season, which are that's the flu and cold viruses. Once we've got the flu, I usually ask my patients to take Epsom salt baths in the first couple of days, like every 2 hours, you know, and the magnesium salts have a way of pulling out the, well, at least that's the theoretical model, pulling out the ache from the muscles and beefing up the antiviral herbs, some combination of the kinds of things that I've mentioned. And with this flu of 2013, the homeopathic remedy Eupatorium is working very well in the clinic with cases that we've had this year. Although, you know, people should look at, you know, these other remedies like gel semium and nux vomica and phosphorus and certainly work with your practitioner on finding the right homeopathic remedy. You know, back to the herbs, you know, the so-called adaptogens. Because everybody's under a lot of stress and getting the flu itself is stressful, these so-called adaptogenic herbs are very helpful. You know, astragalus is adaptogenic and cordyceps is adaptogenic. Sometimes ginseng is helpful. That's adaptogenic.
Well, of the ones that you mentioned, the one that most people have probably heard of the most is elderberry, and it's probably one of the safer ones to do on your own. What is a typical dosage that you would have people on a preventative level? And what form do you typically like to give it?
Well, I like the syrup because it's yummy.
And it is. It's really tasty.
And it works well and it increases our compliance. You know, we're more likely to have it when it's yummy versus some inert little capsule. And when we have the flu, I go for, about a teaspoon of your average syrup, you know, every 2 hours for a couple of days. And, you know, for more of a preventive, I would say, a couple of teaspoons a day would be good.
And then let's circle back a little bit to the diet. You mentioned the importance of making sure our digestion's working well, that we're not eating allergens that could potentially make our immune system not ready to deal with the invasion of flu viruses. But tell us a little more about why the digestion would even be a question when it comes to respiratory vulnerability.
Well, the first line of our defense in our immune system is actually our digestion. And it starts, we eat the food and it goes down to our stomach within moments, seconds. There we have our first line of defense. And if we're under a lot of stress or if our digestion is not up to snuff, then the acidity, the level of acidity in our stomach, which is a level that basically annihilates foreign invaders like viruses when it's at a level it should be, when it's not there, we are more susceptible to these viruses. That's one of the main way that they enter the body, as well as through the respiratory system. And so it's very important that digestion be working well in order to be protected. With regard to the diet, this idea that we have an immune system which is white cells and antibodies, think of them as soldiers. So if your body's busy attacking food that your body really doesn't want in it, but you're not aware of it, those soldiers aren't available. Actually, when there's an attack of a neighboring army of the virus.
Is that because your white blood cells are mobilized to deal with whatever inflammation is being caused by the food that we don't
the
like?
Food or anything else that's going on that's coming in? I mean, we are an ecosystem, as you know, and we have to manage that system. And you know, the immune system is finite. It's really not infinite. We could count these cells and these antibodies if we, you know, if we had the equipment to count it exactly in the body. And it is a finite number, and it becomes exhausted that it has to deal with so much.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, when we were in naturopathic school, we learned that, you know, one of the central tenets of naturopathy is to treat the gut. And it's we're finding more and more that there's a connection with digestion and mental health. There's a connection with digestion and heart health. And also, as we're discussing here, with immune and respiratory function, would we find things that would aid digestion? Is there any information coming out say that probiotics would be useful in flu prevention?
Well, I don't see the studies, but and it's a great point that you raise. A proper ecology of the small intestine, just as a proper ecology of the stomach, is important for immunity. Though we don't see the studies that say, okay, take probiotics, prevent influenza. Just like we don't see the studies do intensive acupuncture, which I neglected to mention, and you know you won't get the flu. Well, we don't have good studies really on that, but we have great studies that acupuncture shifts the immune system. Indirectly, we can apply that. Same thing with probiotics and hydrochloric acid for the stomach. Anybody who's vulnerable should work on the gut. And in our immune enhancement program, we certainly look very closely at the ecology of the gut and shore up the differences.
Well, it sounds like if somebody is getting sick all the time or worried about getting sick, and they also have other chronic symptoms, irritable bowel or chronic sinus congestion, that really they need to do some sleuthing with a medical practitioner who's willing to sort of parse out what are the chronic causes behind these symptoms.
Absolutely. That's what I recommend to anyone who is worried about getting the flu. Is, you know, we tend in this culture to think, okay, I've got an immune system problem and it has nothing to do with my gut, or it has nothing to do with my adrenals or my thyroid or my diet. It's an immune system problem. You and I have had the great fortune of being educated in a profession where, you know, we have been schooled in whole person medicine and looking at the integration of parts. Our medical doctor colleagues understand, of course, that we are also a whole system, but the medical landscape has moved in a direction of specialization and dissection of parts and fragmentation, and you know, it's our job to pull it together.
And really, once they've suggested the flu vaccine, other than Tamiflu, there isn't a lot that they're really suggesting in terms of treatment for people who already are sick with a flu virus.
Right, Tamiflu, and you know, there's three or four drugs that are used depending on whether it's type A influenza or type B. I have not prescribed them. I mean, I looked at the research in preparation for our show today, and there's evidence that it can have an effect if you take it right away. You know, how many people get that medicine? You know, sometimes we're asymptomatic in the first 2 days. We haven't really felt it. We're feeling a little run down. We don't know it's the flu. And by the time we would get our hands on some of that medicine, it's really ineffective. And so I think natural medicine is the direction for most flus. And for the prevention of most flus is to get strong.
And for people who are already, you know, in the throes of the flu, maybe they haven't gotten strong yet. You've mentioned Epsom salt baths. You mentioned ramping up their vitamin D as a treatment intervention. Are there other things that you would have them take in high doses as far as the in the hopes of shortening the flu when they're in it?
Yes. I mean, we can look at all the immune nutrients, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, the antioxidants. In fact, for immune-compromised folks and people with chronic fatigue and people who are very vulnerable, we recommend very strongly nutritional intravenous therapies. And folks come into our clinic and sit in a comfortable chair and get a drip of vitamin C and other immune nutrients, which in my tracking has, you know, shortened the duration and speeded recovery remarkably. I would recommend, in addition to the things I've already mentioned, you know, we can pretty safely go up on vitamin C to, you know, if you Google Linus Pauling studies, you'll see, you know, 20, 30,000 milligrams a day. I'm not suggesting that to all your listeners, but just referencing that as a zone where it's usually safe, except for stone formers. I mean, there are some precautions I would warn your listeners to.
But you're talking about high doses when people are actually in the throes of, yes, of the illness.
Yes, not in preparing. You know, I think for a lot of immune compromised folks, you know, taking 6 to 8,000 milligrams a day, even when they're not sick, is not such a bad idea. It's good for the adrenal glands, seems to support immune function, healthy skin, and has lots of other health benefits.
Well, you put people through these immune programs here in Portland at your clinic, Pearl Natural Health. Maybe you could share your contact information in case people are interested in coming in and preparing for the rest of the winter.
We can be found on the website on the web at www.pearlnaturalhealth.com, and our phone number is 503-230-8973, and we would welcome emails at pearl@pearlnaturalhealth.com.
Do you have some final thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, my final thoughts would be if you are worried about the flu, and if you have health challenges or immune system challenges, and you don't have the flu yet, to take this opportunity in the winter to prepare for next year or for something that might happen later in this season, and work on your health. Working on your health is the best path for preparing against the flu.
Well, Gary, it's always a pleasure to have you on Health Watch.
Thank you, David.
We're talking today with Dr. Gary Weiner about natural approaches to flu treatment and prevention. If you missed part of today's program or you're curious about other Health Watch programs, you can listen to it at drnaimon.com/healthwatch. Or you can also go to iTunes and search for the program under the name Health Watch in the podcast section. Stay tuned for the rest of the Monday morning radio zine.
Hi, this is Joanne Hardesty. Join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for a conversation with City Commissioner Amanda Fritz. What are her priorities for this new term? What are your questions for her? Please join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for Voices from the Edge on KBOO.FM Portland.
KBOO Radio is proud to help sponsor the Skanner Foundation's 27th Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast, Monday, January 21st at 8:30 a.m. This year, the breakfast and ceremony will be held at the Hilton Hotel's Grand Ballroom, 921 Southwest 6th Avenue in downtown Portland. This year's keynote speaker will be Dr. Irma McLaren, poet, anthropologist, and author, who will speak about Dr. King's legacy in the digital age. This breakfast also raises scholarship money for local high school students who are seeking higher education. Again, that's Monday, January 21st, 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at the Hilton Hotel's Grand Ballroom, 921 Southwest 6th Avenue. More information can be found at kbu.fm/scannerbreakfast2013.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up is Food Sleuth Radio.
Hi, welcome to Food Sleuth Radio, where we help you think beyond your plate. I'm Melinda Hemmelgarn, a registered dietitian, investigative nutritionist, and I'm on a mission to connect the dots between food, health, and agriculture and find food truth. And I have to laugh when I say food truth because I should probably add a qualifier that says food truth as we know it today in honor of my guest. Randy Kasten is a civil litigation attorney with 25 years experience. He has presided as a judge, acted as an arbitrator, written dozens of legal articles, edited legal newsletters, and given public presentations on legal topics. He's also the author of the book that we're going to be talking about today called Just Trust Me, Finding the Truth in a World of Spin. And I want to read a review comment by Larry Cohen, who is the founder and executive director of the Prevention Institute. And he says, Just Trust Me is a needed resource for finding truth in a world in which we are too accustomed to accepting corporate marketing propaganda as fact. Randy Kasten reveals how the lack of accurate and forthright information is destructive to our health, social institutions, and communities. As a prevention advocate, I appreciate the thorough analysis and strategies presented for navigating and reducing misinformation and distortion in the media. Just Trust Me is a valuable tool for advancing community well-being and equity. Randy, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be on.
Well, it's becoming increasingly difficult, I think, because of the onslaught of information that we have today as never before. You know, if we want information, we can go online. Most people now, I understand, are receiving news online. Newspapers have had to cut their budgets, so we're not getting as much of that rich investigative reporting that we like. And in the world of food, nutrition, and agriculture, I think we see a large amount of spin.